Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Jim Kreutz. I'm appearing on behalf of the plaintiff appellants, Chatfield Association, and the named plaintiffs, some are here in the audience today. And I'll refer to Sterling Ranch as Sterling Ranch as I have in the brief, and the Board of County Commissioners of Douglas County simply as the board, consistent, I believe, with the briefing. This matter that comes before us today is a matter, I believe, of statewide interest. It's a matter of statewide interest because of CRS 2920301, which says in part 1B, to that end declares that while land use and development approval decisions are matters of local concern, the enactment of this part 3 to help ensure the adequacy of water for new development is a matter of statewide concern and necessary for the preservation of the public health and safety and environment of Colorado. This is cited along with CRS 2-4-201, which is entitled Intentions of in the Enactment of Statute. And in there are five items listed, one of which is public, subparagraph E, public interest is favored over any private interest. We believe that the Board of County Commissioners is arbitrary and capricious in making their decision in upholding this application of Sterling Ranch because of this very issue, and that is it's contrary to public interest and contrary to their own regulations. Section 15 of their regulations sets forth the rezoning requirements for a planned development. And that section 15 is the Douglas County Bible. That section 15 sets forth, consistent with the statute that I just recited, 2920-103, that development in the district is from their regulations. Development in the district is permitted only in accordance with the development plan prepared and approved in accordance with the provisions herein. Under that section, it talks about planned development as being rezoning and goes on to say, which I think is the most germane part, development plans may include more restrictive regulations than that which included in the above section, but standards shall be established and fall below these minimum standards. Section 1503 says the following criteria will be considered and shall be considered mandatory by the board in determining rezoning applications. In those standards that set forth under that title, which is 1503 of the Douglas County Regulations, is 1503.10, which says whether the subject land contains a water supply sufficient in terms of quantity and dependability and quality as it's determined in conformance with Section 18A. This is consistent with the statute A and B that I just recited to you, that the application for rezoning, and remember, this is the only application for rezoning. There is no other application for rezoning. They're rezoning 3,400 acres to plan development. They're creating a city of some 12,000 homes. It would be the 22nd largest city in Colorado. According to their briefs, they intend to do this over a period of 20 years. They are required to provide evidence of adequacy of water pursuant to statute and pursuant to their regulations. They cannot waive the entire Section 15 rezoning of their own regulations, and they've done that in their approval of this particular application. Now, let me address the issue that I know that they're going to ride on, and that is, well, we amended that statute, and that statute been amended to say that the local government has the discretion to make, not only makes the determination, but also possesses the flexibility to determine at which stage in the development permit approval process the determination will be made.
Why can't that amendment guide the proceedings in this case?
I'm sorry, Aaron?
Why doesn't that amendment guide the proceedings in this particular zoning decision?
I think it does give the counties or municipalities or whatever entity is granting this approval. However, what Douglas County didn't do was amend their regulations accordingly. Remember, this entire book of Douglas County zoning regulations is what was considered in this application. After that, there was nothing else considered. The Board of County Commissioners said, well, we're going to do this at sketch plan. At sketch plan, they in fact had an application for sketch plan for 660 homes, and they approved that application. In fact, I think they approved final plat. That's 5% of just the housing development in this rezoning.
Is that part of the record, counsel?
I'm sorry?
Is that part of the record on appeal? The approval?
Well, I read it in the Denver Post 2 weeks ago, so it must be true.
Let's stick with the record.
All right. The question is, if in fact they do not, at sketch plan, consider the entire 3,400 acres, how do they comply with the statutory provision that sets forth under 2920.303? And the answer is they can't. If they piecemeal this development, that's more than one time. Assuming for a moment that they applied for 5% of the development and it was granted, then they get 20 more 5%. So that's not one time. The statute is 2920.303. It says a local government shall not approve an application for a development permit unless it determines in sole discretion after considering the application, that's this application, and all the information provided that the applicant has satisfactorily demonstrated that the proposed water supply will be adequate. A local government, period, a local government shall make such determination only once during the development permit approval process unless the water demands or supply of the specific project for which the development permit is sought are materially changed, which is the case here.
Well, counsel, again, you're making an argument now you didn't make in your briefs, this one-time only argument based upon a record that doesn't exist, based upon your recollection of a Denver Post article.
No, I'm making on the argument on this statute. The initial 103 was passed to prevent piecemeal development.
But your argument that it's piecemeal is not based on what's in the record before us on appeal.
My argument is that by not invoking or amending Section 15, because Section 15 is still the law in Douglas County, they just disregarded Section 15.
Well, 15 cross-references 18.
15 cross-references 18.
And 18 was amended.
18 relates to the standards of water quality and control. Now, for example, they have so many acre feet for a house and so many acre feet for a golf course. And the reason I think this is germane is because if in fact, the county says, well, we decided we need more water for houses, so we're going to change that regulation. The statute says, wait a minute, you can only do this one time. In other words, that was for notice to the public as to what's required of the county. For the county not to amend Section 15 and to leave Section 15 intact, we submit, is contrary to the approval process. You can't have an entire section of requirements and just disregard it by saying, we're going to do it at sketch plan. Sketch plan has no part of rezoning. Sketch plan is the development process. Section 15 isn't in the sketch plan. There are no requirements in the sketch plan relative to this adequacy of water.
All right, so you're saying the cross-reference to 18 doesn't deal with adequacy of water?
I'm sorry.
Saying that the references in 18 as amended don't deal with the adequacy of water, in your view. Because the 15 cross-references 18 has to be consistent with 18, okay? So if 18's been amended,
18 has been amended.
Okay, so if it's been amended to allow a showing of water adequacy at the sketch plan stage, what do you have left?
I submit that it has been amended to show water adequacy at a stage, but it's not at a stage of 3,400 acres. And if you can only do it one time, which the statute says, you'd have to do it on 3,400 acres.
Where is this argument in your briefs, counsel? This one-time argument.
2920.301, one-time.
No. Where is the argument made in your briefs that they're doing this piecemeal, not one time?
I can't give you the page number, but it's in there. In fact, I know it's in the reply.
In the reply brief for the first time?
Well, it might be in the opening brief as well. I can't give you the page number. It's in there. Piecemeal's in there. It's the result. This is resulting in exactly the thing that the legislature has avoided. Remember, when they amended this statute, they didn't amend A and B. A and B is still the law. Adequacy of water. You know, the idea, I think, is a kind of a well-built field of dreams. Prior to this time, when we didn't have these regulations, we didn't have SB 35 even until the 70s, we had developments that started out and then no infrastructure. I submit this may very well end up be a field of nightmares if this is allowed to proceed contrary to what we believe the law to be. I understand the amendment. I must say for the record that the record that was submitted pursuant to the appeal and going on website and preparing for the briefs, those amended regulations were not available. They came available, I think the court noticed, about a month ago. But we believe, Your Honor, that this action by the board is an abuse of discretion, is taking the private interests over the public interest, and that Douglas County had an opportunity to amend its regulations, Section 15, but there's no protection whatsoever or no enforcement measure for the county to enforce adequacy of water. We all recognize what water is in this state, and I think that this statute was passed not only for the hundreds of homes and thousands of homes that are on wells in Douglas County and elsewhere, but that aquifer, Larimer, Dawson, whichever one you want to talk about, doesn't begin and end in Douglas County. That's why the legislature, General Assembly, says it's a matter of statewide interest. All of the areas. It's a matter to Denver, it's a matter to Littleton, it's a matter to Castle Rock, Parker. They're all concerned about this case and this situation. We'd ask the court to reverse the board's decision as being contrary to law and arbitrary and capricious. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Council, you have just under 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. First, for purposes of housekeeping, we would propose to split our argument. The appellees would propose that I would argue the first 10 minutes on behalf of the county, approximately, and Mr. Foreman on behalf of the interveners would take the last five.
That's fine. You're in charge of keeping track of your time, however.
I understand. My name is Corey Hoffman, registration number 24920, appearing this morning on behalf of the Board of County Commissioners of Douglas County. And I'd like to address the issues that Judge Jones was inquiring about first, since I think in many respects those are the crux of this case and this argument. The analysis of the regulations, the interplay between Section 15 and Section 18A of the Douglas County regulations is straightforward. Section 1503 requires consideration of approval criteria, and the criteria in Section 15 applicable to water are in subsection 15.03 or 03.10, and it requires a determination of water adequacy in conformance with Section 18A. Section 18A is an overlay district. What does that mean? It means that Section 6, Section 18A is a supplemental regulation. It applies countywide in addition to the regulations in the underlying zoning district. Here, the plan development regulations of the county. Why is it an overlay district? Why does it matter? Because among other things, you can't make a determination about water adequacy in Douglas County unless you know where in the county the property is located. The geology is different as it relates to the underlying aquifers as you go west to east in the county, and there may be different water providers depending on where you're located in the county. In other words, it's complicated, and it will be different depending on where the water comes from. Section 18A contains the standards for making the adequacy determination. Section 1802A, as amended in March of 2013, specifically indicates that adequacy of water supply for a plan development shall be determined at the time of sketch plan approval. And Section 1503, as Judge Jones indicated, references Section 18A. They reference each other. Thus, the Board of County Commissioners in this case properly applied its own regulations in approving the plan development and the water appeal to reflect a determination on water adequacy be made at the sketch plan stage of the development approval process. So why is Chatfield's construction of the Douglas County zoning regulations wrong and tortured? Well, it reads Section 15 in a vacuum, as opposed to reading it together with Section 18A. It would render Section 18A meaningless in its entirety, not only with regards to Sterling Ranch and the PD's rezoning in this case, but with regard to any rezoning process in the county. You would never get to Section 18A. It would also cause the county's regulations to be interpreted contrary to Senate Bill 258, because water adequacy would be determined multiple times, first at PD rezoning, and then at each and every sketch plan in the future. That is fundamentally contrary to Senate Bill 258. Specifically, 29-20-302 sub 1 defines adequacy for purposes of water supply, and it's adequacy for purposes of build out. That's the definition of adequate. Sketch plan, as the first stage of the subdivision process, is when a local government such as Douglas County determines build out. By contrast, approval of a PD plan is a long-term zoning plan that may never, never be built out in its entirety. So sketch plan makes sense and is absolutely consistent with the language of Senate Bill 258, and Douglas County's regulations conform to it.
Council, can you address your opponent's contention that this effectively results in a, you know, piecemeal addressing of the different components of maybe a bigger plan?
Yes, Your Honor, that goes to the definition of adequate, adequate for build out. Sketch plan is the portion, or subdivision, is the time in the land development process when you determine how many lots are actually going to be built, the infrastructure, the water, all of the pieces for what's actually being built. So that is the portion of development where water adequacy is determined. It's important to note that a water plan is submitted as part of the rezoning process. But that is a framework plan, and the Douglas County Board of Commissioners found that to be adequate. But the ultimate determination as to adequacy and timing, which is specifically referenced in Section 18A as sketch plan, is then determined at the time of sketch plan when you know how many lots are going to be built, how many houses are going to be there, how many businesses. So that's why it's not piecemeal. You're only looking at it once, and that is the time in the development approval process when the county looks at it.
But council, what happens if, 5 years from now, the developer comes back and says, okay, now we're going to add another 1,000 units. They go through this again, and then isn't that piecemeal?
No, because you're looking at that particular sketch plan application to determine if that particular subdivision approval is adequate for build-out. By contrast, if you look at it at the plan development stage, you're talking about a planning document that may never be built out. And what the statute says is adequate for build out. That's the subdivision stage. The county would submit that there's no ambiguity in its regulations whatsoever. Section 15 and Section 18A work together. But even in the event you find any ambiguity, the board's determination is entitled to deference under well-settled law as it's interpreting its own regulations. I also want to briefly address the issue of the effect of Judge King's order in November of 2012, in which he indicated that, quote, any additional decisions or actions with respect to the application are left to the board. This case, in many respects, turns on the effect of his order and what his order was and was not. Specifically, his decision recognizes that a decision overturning a quasi-judicial determination is not, as Chatfield would suggest, a denial of an application. Instead, as Judge Cachette recognized in his order, it is only a reversal of the board's finding and not a final decision on the merits. This distinction is critical for a number of reasons. Most importantly, it leaves how to address the application following the reversal of the board's decision to the board. The Wolf Creek decision cited in our briefing is probably most in point, but ultimately, this case is rooted in common sense and separation of powers. Because whether you're talking about issue preclusion, claim preclusion, or whether the matter is pending, it matters that the decision on a 106 simply reversed the decision of the Board of County Commissioners. It did not deny the application. What to do next was left up to the county. And in point of fact, following Judge King's decision, what the county did, a review of the record would show, is authorize further proceedings. The county amended its regulations, it accepted additional information, and during this process, Senate Bill 258 was adopted. So most certainly, the application was pending within any reasonable meaning of the term. In other words, on the issue of the effect of a 106A4 determination, the only way Chatfield can prevail on issue preclusion, claim preclusion, or the meaning of the term pending is for this court to somehow find that a determination under Rule 106A4 is a final denial of a land use application, and that the county is then legally precluded from taking any further action. I would submit there is not a single Colorado case that stands for such a proposition. Accordingly, the county would respectfully request that Judge Cachette's decision in this case should be affirmed, because the board's decision, both in approving the Sterling Ranch plan development and in determining through the water appeal under Section 18A that water adequacy should be determined at sketch plan, was supported both by competent evidence and is absolutely consistent with Colorado law. And I would defer the rest of my time to Mr. Foreman.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning, Your Honor. Wayne Foreman, registration number 14082 for the Sterling Ranch intervener defendants. I am compelled to address Chatfield's position that the board's decision violates the state water adequacy statutes of 29-20-301 through 303. On one hand, Chatfield freely admits in its reply brief that it does not dispute that the General Assembly gave local governments, including the board, discretion to determine at which stage in the development permit approval process to determine water adequacy. That would seem to end any debate over whether the board's application of its own rules to determine water adequacy at the sketch plan stage of subdivision complied with state law. But Chatfield also asserts that the board's decision is somehow contrary to the General Assembly's intent to place a high burden on landowners, that it results in piecemeal decision-making, as you heard here, and violates state law, which requires a single determination of water adequacy for build-out of a proposed development. Now, none of these assertions have any merit. As an initial matter, the question here is not how high a burden the landowner must meet to prove water adequacy, but when it must meet that burden. And the General Assembly, under Senate Bill 258, has clarified that local governments have the discretion to determine when, at what stage in the development permit approval process, the determination of water adequacy need be made. And as Judge Cachette found, the board's decision here clearly complies with that law. Now, for several reasons, requiring a demonstration of water adequacy at the rezoning stage would create tremendous and perhaps insurmountable burdens and economic waste, particularly for planned developments like Sterling Ranch, which involve master plan communities that are to be built out over a number of years. The most obvious hurdle is that before plan development approval, what the water requirements are for the entire project would be unknown. The density of the development would be unknown. The water requirements on a per unit basis would be unknown. Irrigation water requirements would be unknown. Under these circumstances, it's simply impractical to require a demonstration of water adequacy at the rezoning stage, particularly for a master plan community like Sterling Ranch. And woe is you if you have to go to water court in advance of obtaining rezoning. as part of your water supply, because that application will be challenged on the grounds of speculation and might be subject to dismissal. And even though approved, the Sterling Ranch PD, the ultimate build-out at the Sterling Ranch PD is uncertain. Section G7 of the Sterling Ranch PD states that the PD represents the maximum densities that are permitted. Those densities explicitly can be reduced for a number of reasons, including for subdivision reasons, land carrying capacity, or due to requirements by the Board of County Commissioners. So this further highlights that requiring a developer to secure a water supply at the planning stage, at the rezoning stage, is premature. Now, on the other hand, requiring a demonstration of water adequacy during subdivision approval is consonant with the county's land use policies, is consonant with public policy. I'm particularly referring to Section 1501 of the Douglas County Zoning Resolution, which provides that growth should occur in a phased and contiguous manner. State land use laws also promote the phased provision of services and facilities. In this regard, the Sterling Ranch plan development incorporates intense water conservation into its land use plan, so that water demands are assessed and adjusted as the plan is being developed. Proving water adequacy at sketch plan allows the water provider to the development to understand how much water is actually being used in the existing subdivisions and to tailor water acquisition and infrastructure accordingly. So contrary to Chatfield's assertions, planning a water supply to coincide with phased orderly growth is not arbitrary, nor is it piecemeal. Instead, it is completely consistent with sound land use planning and growth management. Moreover, contrary to Chatfield's claim, there is no risk that the board's action could result in anything being built at the Sterling Ranch project without an adequate water supply. As provided in Section 2.2 of the Water Appeal, which is attached to the approving Resolution 1380, no development is allowed to proceed until the county is satisfied that sufficient water is provided for such development. This is because the PD zoning document does not authorize Sterling Ranch to build a single dwelling unit. That authority comes with subdivision plat approval. And as provided in the Water Appeal, Sterling Ranch will demonstrate that it has an adequate water supply for build out of each sketch plan that is proposed for construction. This is consistent with the definition of adequate in Section 2923.021, which requires that an adequate water supply be provided for build out.
I'm sorry, Council, what was that statutory site again?
2923.02(1). Which defines adequate as a water supply necessary for build out. In this case, build out of the sketch plan, which is what is proposed to be developed. That approval process also honors the statute's directive at 303.1 that the county approve water adequacy only once for a particular development that is the subject of the sketch plan submittal. That process will repeat itself as the Sterling Ranch development progresses so that no aspect of the project can be approved or built without a demonstration of an adequate water supply. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Rebuttal?
Just give you an opportunity to look. The reply brief sets forth, if I may, on page one, this is to prevent development from proceeding in a piecemeal fashion, only to kill the project midway through when the water runs out. It goes on to say piecemeal again on page 5 and 6. I just happened to chance to look at that.
But you didn't find anything in the opening brief?
In the reply brief, Your Honor.
Okay.
And as you also recall, we addressed the sketch plan and the 660 acres, which were stricken from the reply brief. But at least I wanted you to know that I had addressed piecemeal. The council just said that the water will provide evidence of water at each sketch plan. Exactly my point. How does that comply with one time only? One time only. Statute doesn't say one time only at building permit. And what does Douglas County require? Douglas County requires on the regulations that are promulgated in their book that it be done at rezoning for a planned development. That's what Douglas County requires. They didn't waive those requirements. There's nothing that they talked about waiving those requirements. Also, counsel said that the water plan was submitted. Quite the contrary, I think the briefs set out that there was no plan, water plan, or evidence of water submitted with this application by agreement between the county and the developer, Sterling Ranch, because they would take that up as sketch plan. And then counsel just said at each sketch plan, if there's 10 sketch plans, that's not one time to me, or else it's 10 one times. I don't know what that means.
But going to counsel's argument about whether it makes sense to do something else, I mean, why should a developer be required to show water adequacy as to something that which may never be built, as opposed to when it proposes to build something, some number of units, to show that water is adequate for that build-out?
You know, I heard that, and it's scary to say that it'll never be built, because that land out there is zoned PD.
But if it is built, they have to show water adequacy in the sketch plan for what's being built, if it is built.
What's it's zoned for, when they applied for this rezoning, they set out how many homes, how much streets, a golf course or recreational areas, even set out the lights for the recreation. This is a planned development. This isn't just a rezoning and then we'll decide how many homes we want to build later. They know exactly how many homes. That's what they're approved on. And that's why Section 15 is so important. And remember, the statute says they don't have to buy the water, they don't have to own the water, they have to show evidence of adequacy of water. And this day and time, that's a big burden. But they're the ones who chose to want to a planned development and build a city, and then stand up and say, well, this city may never be built. I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
I think the point is that if it is built, okay, assuming that it is, we'll all assume that it will be over time, that when they come up with a sketch plan for the next phase of that development,
right,
the requirement exists of showing water adequacy at that point in time.
Right.
All right, so what is the problem with that?
Two problems. One, it's not in conformance with Section 15. To say, well, we've got X cubic feet of water under contract is not in conformance with Section 15, the rest of Section 15, and Section 18 as the standards. Why? Because they're beyond that. So what are the standards for that water? What is the adequacy of that water under Section 15? Sketch plan doesn't address any of that. It's not included in the sketch plan. Section 15 doesn't talk about sketch plan, and the development regulations relative to the sketch plan don't talk about Section 15. That's the problem.
Thank you, counsel. Your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you both for your fine arguments. The case will stand submitted, and you may expect a written decision in due course. And